So, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is a divine appointment.
Yes.
So I'll just let you know, okay? It had nothing to do with us coming together here. This is a divine presence of our Father that does everything perfect. So we're going to sing that song because what I was sharing the other day, when something is written, it is coming to pass. And Jesus went through the wilderness on the word. It is written. And so that's how it will always be. It is written. So it is written that from glory to glory, he or it or that willed action, which is God, because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man. So we know all that now, don't we? We're beginning to understand what God is. To me, the most important thing now in the world is that we all get to know the only true God that Jesus prayed in John 17. That we all get to know the only true God and Jesus Christ his Son. For that is the life, everlasting. And then at the end of that chapter, we all know it, I am in you, and you are in me, we are one. So, this is what's going to happen over the whole world. Doesn't matter what color, what creed we have been, what cultures we have been in, okay? We're all going to have this experience, there shall be no more hurt on all my holy mountains. And they will change their weapons into plows and into a material where we can work together and grow the veggies and have organic veggies and do the right thing, you know. We're going to do the right thing. And so this is our Father who is in heaven. But he's right here.
Yes.
So what is heaven? Heaven is here. So we have today a very special day, 9/11. And so it is very, well, that's why I say this is a divine appointment. Okay? So I would like all you saw this and our friend, I don't know if any of you watched the television this morning, what is happening in New York. So I would like Audrey to share from her heart what she saw this morning, okay? Then I'm going to share a little bit, and then I don't think we'll make the time 11, but I don't think that that really matters. So I'm going to share a bit, and then we are going to have a meditation together, okay? According to God. All right? Not according to... But that's also beautiful, what's happening out there. So I would like to share that, because it is precious. So you got a hanky ready? She made me cry when she was sharing. Okay, go for it.
This morning, at just at breakfast time, Karen and I were at the hotel having breakfast, and you know, God's timing is perfect. And while we're there, CNN was sharing what's happening at that moment on Ground Zero. And so it caught our attention. And as we were watching, I don't know if any of y'all have really taken note of what Ground Zero looks like right now with the memorial of the waters.
Yeah.
And the waters are flowing. And they're flowing here, and then they're here, and then they're here into the pit of hell. But they're living waters. They're living waters flowing down into this center. And today, at the moment that the the towers were first hit, they rang a bell and declared a moment of silence to where everybody, whatever your thought process was, there was a moment of silence. The Star Spangled Banner was sung by the children afterwards. And our president, his wife, and our former president and his wife had their hand over their hearts in allegiance to our flag.
That's a change.
Yes.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
It's a big change. This is answered prayer.
Yes.
This is the answer. We have to look at it that way. We have to look at this as we pray the heart of the Father, and He is responding to us. Let us recognize the fact that He has responded to us. Not be critical.
Amen.
Not be critical.
Evidence. That's right.
Evidence of things not seen or coming. Yeah. This is really important.
That's right. That's
and after that, our president stands up and addresses the people, but he doesn't introduce himself. He doesn't make an introduction or anything. He simply goes to the podium and he opens the Bible.
Really?
And we were wondering where he was reading from because he didn't say. But I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to stand and do it. Can you see it? I would like everybody to stand.
Yeah, so we're
standing before the presence of God as our leader on this day and this hour at ground zero. I like this. Let's put our hands over our hearts. Because this is what he said. Psalms 46, out of the voice of our President Obama. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled through the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Yes.
Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, and he cuts the spear in surrender. He burns the chariot in the fire. But be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Amen.
A loved one crossover came up and gave their name. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Revelation 14. It is there and it's coming alive from ground zero. God is resurrected out of the pits of hell that the earth has been shattered and dealt with. And with that, with the foundation, we have the voice of the cloud of witnesses, the testimony of the word of the Lord being spoken into the atmosphere and filling the earth with His glory. Praise God.
Yeah, stay in New York.
It went out. We have had the grounds of that same testimony from this day forward.
Answer prayer.
Still know that I am
the repairer.
I am.
So wherever we all each go after today, back to Mississippi, back to Michigan, and Australia, we are carrying this word with us.
Yes.
Who we are in Christ, and that He has now risen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I am so excited with God. Kathy said, thank God for God.
Yes.
I'm thanking God for God.
Yes.
Because He always always overrules everything with his love.
Yes.
And that's the thing that's going to do it, his love.
Yes.
The greatest of these is love. Mm-hmm. Paul had the revelation, and we are getting the revelation.
Amen.
So righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne, his kingdom, his domain. His image and likeness is righteousness and justice. It's a foundation. And how important is a foundation? Because if your foundation is not good for your house, one day it's going to crumble. There'll be a big storm and you won't have a house. Because your foundation is not good. You know, so then we found out over our journey, many times when we were doing lots and lots of talking, I still talk, but you know, we still have to talk. The foundation of understanding. Now God says, with all you're getting, get understanding. Mm-hmm. It's very important to get understanding. So how do we get understanding? The willingness to listen. That's how we get understanding. Yes. There comes a time in our life and it's like, God, I don't know. This is just not working, you know. So he says, begin to listen. And you know, isn't that... See, God is so faithful. He just brings stuff across your path. Mm-hmm. And then this, the message. This Peterson, how long did he work to translate that message Bible? I think it was 20 years. And at the right time, it comes into my hand.
I remember you reading it here.
Yeah. That it just, I had three big revelations, mm-hmm. by the way he put it. Mm-hmm. Just a different way of writing it down. And wow. And of course, Tony was already sharing about being born again is going back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was already come by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then you get a confirmation. Mm-hmm. And how beautiful does he put things down, you know? And he said to Nicodemus, you know, you're not listening. You see? And you know, you read further on, because Nicodemus keeps on asking questions. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking questions, okay? I don't mind. I love it, actually. But he says, but there's got to come a time that you've got to hear and receive what's being said, okay? Mm-hmm. So that your question is answered. I have questions, but God answered me through one way or another, and I don't need to ask that question again. So, he said, you procrastinate with your questions. Now that's a word of wisdom. Mm-hmm. If you keep on asking the same question and you're not hearing the answer, you're procrastinating, right. You see? And you're not getting anywhere. You're going around the mountain all the time. So there is a wisdom in that translation. So another foundation, the foundation of understanding is the willingness to listen. Now I think we've all become listeners now. And so that's why we're here. So now I'll just share a few little things, okay? So we've had our meditation, we're just going to just keep on now, and then we'll have lunch. And then this afternoon, Tony will still share. So in my, all the journey that we have done for about 30 or 40 years, since 1980, actually, our life began to fall into place. And so now I find, and over our journey, we have found now that the most important thing in our life is to come to know the true God. When Jesus prayed that in John 17, that you may know the only true God, and I thought, what a strange thing to pray. Because to me, there was only one God. But you know, one time I had him as a man, and I didn't even understand. It was spirit. So we have had concepts of God, you know? And we're still coming out of these concepts. So when it says in, understand, okay. So God himself says in Jeremiah 9, I might just like to read that because I find it very important. Because if you're still not 100% sure about God, see, most of the Christians believe that God is good and evil because that's what they can understand. They can understand a God that blesses and curses. But I have found out that that is not the true God. That's the God of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God is the God of the tree of life. And there are no opposites in that. So I found out here in Jeremiah 9 that we know all these scriptures. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understand and knows me. See? He said that he may know me. So, okay, who is this me? That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So, now there came a time in my life that I would be reading somewhere else, and I'm reading about the wrath of God. And this God is speaking in wrath, and it's all here in black and white, all over the place. And that he is going to judge you and kill you. And I thought to myself, God is not a schizophrenic. You know, he is not. He doesn't go from one to another. God, it says in James, God had no variableness. He doesn't change. He is the same. So I had to make a decision. See? What was I going to see? So now when I see this, for in these I delight, God delights in loving kindness. God delights in righteousness. God delights in justice. To me, that is the only true God, but Jesus is praying. See, and then Jesus comes to this earth, and you know in John 1:18 it said that nobody knew God. Nobody knew God. But he came to reveal his Father, the true God. See, so, you know, we have to then become discerners. We discern when it's speaking of the true God and when it is not. So when I read in Genesis that God began to curse, well, say, I'm sorry, I don't know that God. I don't know a God that you would never be sure what God's going to do next. Mm. Would you now? You know, why? You might have done something wrong. You don't even know you've done it. And something bad happens and you think God is doing this to you. So I don't know a God like that. So,
yes,
in Micah, when Tony was sharing yesterday about sometimes the person thinks, like we had this concept, do I have to give my firstborn for the salvation of my soul? Do I have to sacrifice my child? You see. Wow, all these beliefs, they're all going to go up in smoke.
Amen.
they're all being dissolved to nothingness.
Yes.
And only truth will remain.
That's right.
And you know, here also, see now this is God saying, okay, that you may know and understand me. This is God speaking. He wants us to know and understand that only true God that Jesus is talking about. Now, you know, in Micah's absolutely beautiful story, you know, because see, God goes back again and he says, oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, that you may know. See, God is speaking to us again, that you may know, you know, so we can know. You know, I was at this, I had to have my eyes checked with this specialist, you know. And so he says to me, what are you doing, you know? We've never met him. So he had my name and where I lived and all this stuff. So he says to me, what are you doing? I said, oh, you know, I read and I do a bit of writing. And so he said, what do you write about? I said, God. And he says, God? And he said, you can't know God, he says to me. I said, oh, yes, I can. This is special. You have a fixed look in my eye. And I said, you know what? Jesus prayed. And he said, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ his Son. So yes, you can know him. After that, there wasn't another word spoken. Oh, I love that specialist. He's just so special to me. You know, if you come really close, you know, I don't know if ever, any one of you have done that. You've got to put your thin on, you know, you've had your eyes on. And I mean, he is only just a few inches away from you. You know? And we're looking eye to eye. Oh, God, that was so cute, you know. So, you see, we can know. We can come out of our concept and we can know the only true God. It's the most precious thing that we are experiencing. So, you know, this is such a beautiful story that you may know, you see. This is God speaking to us. That you may know the righteousness of God. Say, changed my life. Mm-hmm. Coming to know that, changed, saved, put me on my feet. I was so frustrated. Oh, I just, oh, God, so wonderful. I think there was another one. Oh, yeah, then in John 17, mm-hmm. there was three. What I know of, there'll be hundreds of them, I'm sure, that where it says that you may know the righteousness of God, that you may know and understand me, you know. And then Jesus prayed that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ his Son. Mm-hmm. But that is delight, see. There's no separation in that. When the whole world comes to understand that, there's no more separation. That brings us all to this oneness that mm-hmm. Jesus came to reveal. Wow, we've gone off the track, haven't we? And we've got created all this disturbance, this separations from each other. So, you know, so that is that. And then I just like to go back to Genesis. We'll just do that. Genesis chapter 1. Mm-hmm. God created us in his image and in his likeness. Wow, wow. And you know, I read a scripture before that. Where was that again? The principle, you see? That there's principle. They will never change. That God has brought into action. Mm-hmm. And he says here, then he said, this is, I don't know which day that is. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind. See? You will never get an apple tree bring forth nectarines. I love nectarines. And so, and then it says, to his kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Okay? See? Now, that's a principle. Although man is now fiddling with these things, and they're putting a few different kinds of apples together, and you're getting other things. Okay? So man can disturb. And this is what happened. So I'll just read a little bit more, and it says, and God blessed them, okay, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, okay? That's the start, that's the beginning, that's the word that came out. And God said, and also to everything. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Okay, so God, oh, what did he say? He blessed it somewhere. I can't forget where that is now. And he blessed it. So in Numbers he says, I have blessed and I cannot reverse it. So see, God is the same. He's never changed. You know, we've had all these ideas about God. But he really has never changed. So then I like to read this bit. Then the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth in the heavens. Okay, then it goes into something different. Now I can share with you that I do not have a revelation or an understanding of this whole thing, okay? But I know the God that did not then create something and it began to bless and it began to curse. See,
amen.
To me that is a different story that continues on. So I just leave it. And I'm not asking what happened there or start to speculate and try to make up a Bible study to explain that. I don't need to. I now know that God has created everything perfect.
Yes.
And I stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at what he has created and he sees that it is very good. And he blessed it. So I am now coming to that, I'm staying there. And that's where righteousness has brought me to this understanding. Okay, so then we find when God speaks this, and you can see he rested and he never came out of this place. This is what I have come to know. In Zephaniah 3 verse 17, you know all that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord our God in the midst of me is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over me with singing.
Yes.
And what is he doing? He is resting in his love. So, okay, that's it. Now this God is too holy, Habakkuk 1:13. This God is too holy to look upon evil. See, so that's why when we are sharing, God doesn't really know all your problems, or he cannot look upon it because he's too holy. Now this is the sovereign God. He is resting in his love because he's put it out there. He is waiting now for us to come to know him aright. And then we come out of that, all this, hear my cry, O Lord, and tend unto my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the ends of the earth, I will cry unto you, my God. And I used to do that in my humanity.
Mm-hmm.
When I was so disturbed and so distressed. And we've all done that. And that's okay. Because that is the beginning. And I said, God, where are you? You know, because see, I was taught that God was up in heaven somewhere.
That's
on the
right.
Throne. And we were so having such a terrible time in all this fighting, and oh, it was shocking. And then you repent and you make up, and the next day it's all over again.
Right.
And you don't know how to change.
Right.
I was frustrated out of my mind. So I'm, of course, as a little girl, I didn't want to go to church, you know. I mean, my mom made me go to church, and I had to go to church, and I didn't want to, but I wanted to go to the movies, and I wasn't allowed to go to the movies, because that was sin, and everything was sin, and to have put a bit of lippy on was sin, so I wasn't allowed to do anything. So, I mean, I don't want a God like that, you know. So when I left to go to Australia, oh, hallelujah. Australia, here I come. And so, I mean, we went to the movies twice a week and to the dances, and then we had a ball. And, but you know what? My heart was still after God.
Amen.
No.
Yes.
With all that. And so here I am today. And so, you know, how did I get to all that? yeah, the frustration that you don't know what is happening, you know, and where this God is. And so, see, then God, see, oh yeah, that's what it was. The hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer, God. Can't you hear my prayer? You know? And so that's the cry of this world now. Millions upon millions not understanding what is happening. Where is this God? You know? So then you know what? God began, my life began to change after that cry. And so many, many years, slowly but surely, line upon line, here a little and there a little, you know, we were coming to know something. And then, see, now I come to now then. So now I cannot, and we still have circumstances happen, sometimes that are not pleasant, that are not nice, and that are not good, okay? Sure. Because, see, circumstances keep on changing around you, and even within you sometimes, you don't know why what is happening inside of you. But now I don't need to pray anymore. Hear my cry, O Lord. Because I know my Father. I know that now that realm of God is perfection.
Yes.
So all I need to do now is be still. I don't have to cry anymore. You know what? I hardly ever cry. I cried when Audrey was telling me this morning about what happened there in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, that made me cry. But that made me cry of thankfulness and joy of something beautiful that was happening there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so see, it's a journey. We're on a journey.
Yes.
We're on a journey. And we're coming to know ourselves and God.
Yes.
As soon as you come to know God, you come to know yourself.
Yes.
Because you know that's the same. It's one.
Mm-hmm.
So, we know that by one man's disobedience, so I've established that, okay? God finished his work. And he looked at it, saw that it was very good. He saw himself. When he looked at it, he saw his own image and his own life.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no evil in that.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because he can't look upon evil. Because he is that, what he created.
Yes.
He created us in his image and in his likeness,
yes,
which is perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then, you see, then Adam turns around and says, I am afraid. And in another part he says, I will exalt myself above the Most High God. See, he begins to... So it says, by one man's disobedience, Romans 5, okay? So he was obedient to what God said. Because God had already said, looked at it, saw that it was good, blessed it, and he can never change that.
Right.
He can never not bless it. See? So that's why my little sister Melba said, when we're talking about the government, we are blessers and we are lovers, because we are the offspring of his nature.
Right.
So now our life is blessing and loving to any experience that you have. We can have a disagreement. I mean, there's lots of things happening in your life, lots of things you have to do, and sometimes the pressure is really on. And then we can come in a conflict. So what am I? Am I going to keep on telling him that I'm right? He is wrong?
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Good answer. Good answer.
See, no, I'm a blesser. And I am a lover. So sometimes it takes a little while, but I get there. I get there. And so I just withdraw, you know, and I thought, and because sometimes I would like to correct him, you know. Wow! Oh, hell breaks loose. So, see, I learned obedience by the things where I was suffering. Because things were happening, I didn't like what he was doing, and so I'm trying to correct him, but oh, he doesn't see that the way I see it. So we've got the two humanities trying to improve each other, you know, and it doesn't work. I've learned all that. So Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Hebrews 5. Mm-hmm. So he went through the same things as we went through. Mm-hmm. So I learned now it's much better for me to go God's way. Mm-hmm. It's much more peaceful.
Yes.
And I just withdraw, and maybe I wasn't right after all. That happens sometimes. Oh, God. Oh, God. So it's a wonderful journey. Yeah. We're coming to know who we are. We're the offspring of God. We're blessers and we're lovers. And so this is the way I want to go. And so, okay, but you see, Adam didn't really fully understand that. Mm-hmm. He was caught up. And so he says, he was disobedient, okay? That's what the scripture says. So we just stay with that. And so I go there. Romans 5, okay. We all know these scriptures. But you know, scriptures are for instruction and reproof. I have had scriptures that I have completely changed believing what it was. It's completely a different thing what it was all the time. But I had a concept about the scriptures, you know. Yeah. So as we had concepts about God, this guy came to our tent meeting. He was our preacher. Mm. This goes back to in the 80s, you know, when all this this revelation was coming. And he said, you've all got different gods. I said, what? And I thought, what is this guy saying on that platform there, you've all got different gods. And I thought, gosh, we've all got, and I'm looking around at everybody, and I mean, we're all worshipping Jesus. You know, we're all worshipping Jesus Christ, and we're having a ball. And he said, you've all got different gods. You know, it's about 10 years later that I understood what he was saying. I just leave that. When I hear these things coming, I just leave it. Right. And I just let the Holy Spirit, when the time's right, it comes.
Right.
And he teaches me, you know. But I'm listening. I'm listening all the time, you know. And I understood what he was talking about. God is not a man, you know. It's so wonderful. And you know, then that, that translation came to me, Kaboris, the Kaboris translation, where Jesus actually spoke in Aramaic, the Aramaic language. And I had this one little page. And you know, I met this girl in West Palm Beach many, many years ago. And she came to the meeting. She gave me just this one little page out of that Kaboris Aramaic translation, and it said in there at the from John 1, okay, at the very beginning there was willed action. In the beginning was the Word. Genesis, in the beginning God, okay. In John, in the beginning the Word. And then I get this translation, in the beginning there was willed action. Well, that took me away all away from a physical God, you know, a physical person. That translation, that helped me so much. See, it's a real action, everywhere present. Doesn't matter where it is, God, that willed action is right there where you are. And it's always for good, because God has got good thoughts towards us.
Yes.
Jeremiah 29:11. God hasn't got an evil thought towards us at all.
That's right.
He always has a good thought towards us, a thought of peace and of a good end, you know. And so that's that willed action coming to us all the time. You know, there's a testimony that I read. Some of you might have read that, because it happened here in the United States. And that was this girl. She was a drug addict, man. She used to go to houses and hold up people with a gun to get money so she could get her drugs. And she was in and out of prison, you know. And oh, man. And they, when you are that sort of a person, the police has got no mercy for you whatsoever. Yeah. They throw you in a room where everybody just toilets, right on the floor there. And they throw you in there. And you are lying there in all that filth until you've done your bit. And then you can, or they talk to you or whatever happens, you can go out again. And finally, this girl really ends up in prison and she's not coming out again. I forgot her name. And so then after a little while, she said to this warden, I want a Bible. And this warden was so mad with her because she was in such a shocking humanity and behaving so rudely. And he said, I'm not getting you a Bible. Who do you think you are, wanting a Bible, you know? But I forgot how it went. But somehow or other, she got a Bible. I forgot. I've lost the book, and I would love to read it again, because it's absolutely amazing. And so she starts at the beginning, and she comes to Jeremiah 29:11. Mm-hmm. Yes. God has got good thoughts towards you. Mm-hmm. Thoughts of peace and of a good end. It changed her life. It just changed her. And she began, and of course the Spirit is there. Mm. And she began to read and to understand. After a little while, she started Bible studies in the prison.
Wow.
You know? Mm. Now she's got a prison ministry. Mm. She's out, you know, by God's wonderful grace. The sentence was shortened. And she still did 13 years, I think, if I remember correctly. Mm. So, this is this God. This is this willed action that can come to us anywhere, mm-hmm. at any time, at any moment. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you hear. She heard. And it changed her life forever. You know? So this is this wonderful God that we are now getting to know. So I don't see no wrath in that God. I can't see, and I cannot see that he orders villages to be slaughtered. I cannot see that in God. So that, and the, all that revelation is coming out now. But you know, we Mike, I found the first meeting really began to share about the Lord God. See, I can't do that. He had that understanding. So I encourage you all to have a listen to that, because he speaks about that, and he speaks about David saying, hear my cry, O Lord, attend on, oh, I am, woe is me, you know, oh, save me from all these enemies and all that sort of stuff. And then in Psalm, what is it, 16 or 17, he says, as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness, and I will be saved. So David is having an up. And then the very next sentence, whoa! and he writes these terrible things about God.
Right.
Same as what Moses did, you know. You bring people in destruction. I thought, Moses, who do you think you are? What kind of a God have you got, you know? So it's a journey, you know? And yeah, so okay, so how do we get to all this? Adam being disobedient, not hearing God. So, and he then creates this world. So then there's two finishings, what Tony said. God was finished with the creation, but then Adam creates this world, right? So then Jesus came. And so by one man, here in Romans 5, therefore, and through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, yes, resulting in condemnation. Haven't you been in that? I've been in that condemnation for years and years. And Jackie, yes, tells me, for years and years and years, walking in this condemnation. You know, you're trying to be good and you don't know how to be good and you think that that's going to fix it, and then you are good for one day and you find out there's still condemnation. So it doesn't deliver you from the condemnation. So that's what happened with Adam. So even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Can you see that? So Adam through disobedient, and now Jesus came, right? And you know what we were saying before, I just love that now, where Simeon speaks the word and he says, this baby, this Son of God has come for a light, mm-hmm, to the Gentiles, for the unveiling of Christ, that is our true nature. That is just so wonderful. So what does it say? Free gift. I don't have to try and be good. It says a free gift. So when that came to us, because we were at the end of our tether, I tell you. We've done every Pentecostal church in Melbourne. Been to every one of them. And nothing, right, had changed. Condemnation, I tell you. Shocking. What a terrible feeling.
Yes.
And so then, by God's wonderful grace, you know the story. I heard Kenneth Copeland. I put on the TV one morning. I didn't know who he was. And he was telling me about a sin consciousness versus a righteousness consciousness. A free gift. Jesus took upon himself all that condemnation, all these feelings that I had, and all this feeling of not being good enough and all that stuff. That was all dissolved. You know, and that didn't go really by just hearing it once, okay? I stayed with that for months, because every time this mind, you know, keeps on ticking and keeps on telling you, you know, you're fooling yourself, you're kidding yourself, and all this jazz. And so I stayed with the Word of God. See? It was that willed action, that wanted me to come to know the true God and to come to know myself the way I'm known of God. I am the righteous. That's what God knows. He doesn't know Martha the old way, the human way. That was crucified. Mm-hmm. Jesus took it upon himself. That's what he did. The whole world, what we were saying before, he's taken, you know, everything of the whole world upon himself. So the whole world has been reconciled. Well, man, what a revelation. Gosh, that's the most wonderful thing you can hear. So, you see, and he is the image, Colossians 1. Okay, now you know that by one man's act of righteousness, I want to read that, Colossians, because we are all part of this, you know. This is not something that we read about Jesus. We're reading about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm talking about myself.
Yes.
And I need to know. And so, you know, he says here in Colossians 1, he says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Can you hear that? Mm-hmm. See, Jesus had to start just like we start. Mm-hmm. He found out when he went to sit with those Pharisees, he was hearing something completely different than what those Pharisees were hearing. They had a law God. They didn't have a God of grace and truth. So when Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, what is he hearing? He was hearing about a Father that loved him. You know, even in the Old Testament, God speaks, I want to be a father unto you, but nobody can hear. How do we come to this place? By hearing. By hearing what God said. That's how I got there. So, and then in Revelation, oh, wow. In Revelation, what is it? Revelation 3:14. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Okay, so that's God speaking. He is the only one that's the faithful one and the true witness. That's the word that's coming forth. And it says, the beginning of the creation of God. See, that whole thing, when Jesus started, the creation of God was coming forth. Because, see, Jesus was the only one that knew God. He came from the bosom of the Father. Mm-hmm. He spoke the stuff what he heard his Father say. The Pharisees didn't know a thing about it. So, and we've got the same thing happening again. Beautiful people love God, worship God for hours. We used to do that. And I had a concept of God at that time. But it was all in the journey, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't condemn it now that they are doing that. No, they are having a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. And it's good. And the unveiling keeps on happening. So till we all come to know our own self, the way we are known of God, then there is no more divisions. We have to come to know our Father. And that he was the firstborn of many brethren. And we are now following after him in his footsteps. Mm-hmm. You know, receiving the free gift. And so, okay, I'm just making sure I've got all my things. So then Jesus began to say, when he started his ministry, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And whatever you have need of will be added unto you. Now, we've heard that scripture so often that we don't want to hear it anymore. See? And so when we first come back, we get into this church and they're beginning to teach us about the end times. It scares me. The book of Revelation, I didn't understand one bit about, and it looked all pretty scary to me. So they were the things they were teaching on. Or all the feasts. The feasts of Tabernacle and all that old stuff they were teaching on. And here we are, just born again. And you know, Jesus stood up in John 7 at the Feast of Tabernacle. He said, hear you me. And nobody could hear. He said, I am that. I am that feast. You can't go. You know, consider not the old things. The old things are past. Behold, I do a new thing. And we are here to experience that. Those scriptures are fulfilled in our ears. This new, beautiful walk of the Spirit, one with our Father. You know? And so Jesus came to reveal that. So now, yeah, I just want to share this thing from about the hearing, okay? Because Jesus said every time again, be careful how you hear. Mm-hmm. The way you hear, it will be measured unto you.
Yeah.
So hear it right, so that you may reap life, what he came to reveal. I am come that you may have life and have it more alive. That's what he came. Okay. free from all these thoughts. Take no thought, he says. When you begin to feel yourself take thought about what was said yesterday and what is that I'm doing today and, you know, all that stuff that brings conflict, take no thought. That is really a very big one. Consider the lily. You know, it toils not, it doesn't do a thing. And yet this beautiful substance brings forth this beautiful flower. So let's just become obedient, you know. And as I was saying the other day about the word, you know, the scripture that I started off with the other day, that the scepter will not depart from Judah, neither the law from between his feet. Now the law is not the law of Moses, okay? That is the law of the Spirit of life. The law of God is the law of the Spirit of life. Mm-hmm. See, Moses gave us the Ten Commandments because of his experience. I can't go into all that now. So, the scepter shall not depart from any of that. And until he comes, whose right it is, it's the Christ whose right it is to come, to be us, as us. Christ as us, now, here, in this world. And so we've learned that, and unto him, unto that Christ, shall the obedience of the people be. Unto the Christ shall the gathering of the people be, you know. So the obedience, we learned that it is a Latin word, and it means, because I forgot the other day whether it was Latin or whatever, so it means hearing to the superlative. Now those of you that are good in English, but I didn't understand that, so that I looked it up and it said surpassing others, supreme, hearing to the maximum. Now we have to begin to practice to hear to the maximum. Because Jesus heard to the maximum. And it caused him, like what Tony was saying, already express the resurrection even before the cross. I was really impressed. He's gone beyond what he has been sharing for the last 30 or 40 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you realize that, but I picked it up.
Yes.
I picked it up that when he was sharing the other morning, when he went for 2 hours and couldn't stop, he went beyond himself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I could hear it.
Yes.
You see, Jesus was already walking in that resurrection because he heard to the maximum who he is. I can say was, he is.
Yes.
So I was really very, I really have to sit with that message and hear that a few hundred times. And, you know, just stay with that,
you see.
But it comes in the hearing, see. When we listen to that message again, is the hearing. What am I hearing, you see? And that, the way I hear it, it will be measured unto me.
Yes.
And I will walk in that.
Yes.
In that first resurrection.
Yes.
Wow, that was awesome. So, we go on, you know. So we know that is a very important. The hearing is very important. So, and we have to become still to hear. It's good, isn't it? Oh, we can all relate to it now. It's not anymore something that we don't know. We can now go there, walk there, do it, you know, listen to it again and again. And so in Hebrews, where was that again? In Hebrews 5, so obedience. Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered in Hebrews 5. I want to go back a bit from that scripture. Okay. Okay, Jesus said then, this is about Jesus, and he was not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. So he's talking towards God, okay? I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. I think I'm in the wrong spot. Mm-hmm. Am I? Mm-hmm. Yes, I am in the wrong spot. I have to be in 5. So that was good too, but that's not what I wanted to share.
Amen.
Because I got this morning, would you believe it?
Oh.
And but I could see so much. And so Jesus come, he's born of a woman, born just normal, like you and me, but something is already happening in him, right? And he goes and sits with these Pharisees as soon as he grew up a bit. Yeah. So there was something working in him already.
Yeah.
And he's beginning to know who he is, okay? So then it goes further. And he said, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gift and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Now this is talking about Jesus. Now when we were saying God doesn't know about your human plight, what we were reading before in Genesis 1, that he rested and finished his work. And as it says in Habakkuk 1:13, that cannot look upon evil, because he is God. He is the image and likeness of God. He sits there resting. He's done it. He's spoken the word. He looked at it, saw it was good. You know, who are we to change it? So, I mean, he's not going to, pamper you. That is something, isn't it? You know, he is resting in his love. And I tell you what, when we were in our days of confusion and frustration, I used to still read the Bible, and I would come against that scripture over and over again, unless your righteousness, because I thought, still going to church, drinking all the time, I'm keeping it all together. I'm going to work, feed the kids, earn the money, and then God would come, or the Spirit, and he says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will not see the kingdom. And I said, God, why can't you tell me I'm a good girl, I'm working so hard, trying to keep this family together in this hellhole. And you're telling me, unless my righteousness exceeds that righteousness. Well, I was a scribe and I was a Pharisee, wasn't I?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I thought I was righteous, And you know what? That wasn't for just 1 week. That was for years.
Yes.
I didn't know what that meant. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can't see the kingdom. So it doesn't go overnight. And God didn't come off his seat when he was sitting and resting. He didn't feel sorry for me. He sits there waiting, resting in his love.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes.
Until finally the day comes for me that Jesus, who knew no sin, was made righteous.
Yes.
That I, who knew no righteousness, was made righteous.
Oh,
that's beautiful.
And that's where I understood. Now my righteousness had gone over the top of the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And you know what? I could see the kingdom.
Yes.
See? So when there's some in your family that are walking in this world, nothing in the world, what you say or what you do, is going to change anything.
Amen.
That's right.
When the right day comes, when the right time comes, just see them the way God sees them. Because
yes.
This is now our intercessory prayer.
Yes.
This is now our journey.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, that we don't continue in the old way. Now, I still fall many times. But you see, I don't have to stay there now, falling on my face.
That's right.
I can get up.
That's right.
And I know how to get up.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go there, because that's suffering. You know, so I learn obedience by the things that I suffer.
Yes.
See, and that's when we suffer. When we begin to judge each other, when we begin to have hard feelings, you know, things are happening all the time. Where you have the opportunity to be offended or whatever, or to get hurt. You know, we always get so hurt, you know. And so, yeah, you see, there's opportunities all the time.
Yeah.
So we don't go there anymore. Mm-hmm. We're on a journey. See, we do that intercessory prayer, you know. So what? I was amazing that I came to see that a few months ago about myself. That didn't go overnight.
Mm.
That was a long time that I lived in. And you know what? Every time I turn up to that scripture, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees, Jesus came to do it for us.
Mm.
He did it. And in that, I have, with both of us, that was another absolute miracle that the two of us began to meditate on the same scripture. And you know, see, righteousness is not an old religious word. It is a presence. It is a substance, because the other scripture we had with that was Isaiah 32 verse 17, where it said the work of righteousness. See, righteousness is working. The work, it's a working word. It's a verb. Righteousness, the work of righteousness is peace.
Yes.
And this is the peace of Jesus. Not the peace of this world. It's the peace of Jesus.
Mm.
So, you know, when you feel uptight, think about who you are. You are the righteousness of God. The work of righteousness is peace. Go there. Go there. Leave all that other stuff. Go there. And assurance. How many people that we have known are looking for assurance in another person?
Yeah.
You know, we have to have a mate, because he will look after me. See? Now, there's nothing wrong with having a mate, nothing wrong with being married, but you see, in reality, that's not where your assurance is.
Yeah,
your assurance is within yourself.
Exactly.
It's in that image. And in that likeness of God, you have need of nothing.
Yes.
You know? And because what Tony was saying, of his fullness have we all received. Meditate on that. Think on that. See? So, okay, I'll go further here. See, because Jesus also faced these weaknesses that we face. So he knows what you're going through. See? So this is the love of God. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. Do you understand? Because that was still in that old belief. Okay, they believed you have to do sacrifice. Wow. But then he said himself, when Christ, when he came into the world, when he woke up, God didn't never even wanted sacrifice or offer. So, I mean, that's another thing. It's a bomb, you know. So we just be gentle with it until the Father fully makes us understand what that is all about. And no man, now this is what I want you to hear. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, okay, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Now, didn't that, see, we didn't make ourselves what we are now. What happened to us? It's when he said to us, you are my son, in whom I am well pleased. Did you see the same thing happen to Jesus? When he was baptized, he said, God said to him, you are my beloved son, in whom I will. Are you hearing this? Yes. That really made such an impact on me this morning. Because Jesus went exactly through the same thing as what we are going through now. And we're hearing God say to us, you know, we feel down and out. We felt down and out. And not knowing anymore where to turn, because we've done it all out there.
Right.
Didn't know, and we were just the two of us home together now. Didn't know anymore where to go, what to do.
Yeah.
And here comes the message. You see, don't listen to Martha, whose breath is in her nostril, but listen to what I am sharing, which is the God experience.
Yes.
So when Kenneth Copeland came, he came to bring us the start for us to come out of our hellhole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When he said, God has made you righteous, and he was preaching that on 12 days. So then, you know, he didn't want to hear anything from anybody. The church, it just absolutely finished us, the experiences that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And so we come in judgment to that. Can you hear that? And we end up in hell ourselves because we were judging our experience.
Yes.
We were judging that ministry.
Yes.
And what happens to us? We were a worse hell experience than we have ever had because we judged them.
Right.
And you know, you end up in the hand of the tormentor until you've paid every penny. Well, we paid every penny.
Right.
You know, we come to the end, didn't know anymore where to turn.
Mm-hmm.
But then God, by his grace, comes again.
Yes.
And again. And again.
Yes.
You are my beloved son. Hebrews 1, you read it. It comes again and again and again. You know, you are my beloved child. But Jesus went through the same thing. When he was baptized, there was the voice. You are my beloved son. Oh man, I just love that. And then his other experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus had that experience. You know, something, I mean, we can't even imagine what that was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Peter, as poor, good old Peter, I mean, straight away he wanted to build three churches, you know. One for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Our reaction, we're seeing something that is so mighty and so big, and of course we don't know what to do with it, you know. Mm-hmm. And the voice comes again. Not Moses. Not Elijah. This is my son. Hear him.
Yeah.
See? And you know that one? That will eliminate all these different beliefs, churches. It will, once we all come to that, it will be just one great big family over the whole earth.
Yes.
And we will not make war anymore. It's all written. It is written.
Yes.
And it will come.
Yes.
When the time is right, it comes. So what I really, you know, Jesus heard, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And as he says another time, okay, now listen. Because this is what he says to us, okay? You are a priest forever.
The ordinances.
Yes.
You are a priest forever. That Christ, whose right it is the priest forever. And what does a priest do? He ministers.
That's right.
He condescends. He loves. He lifts up. That's beautiful. And a priest according to the order of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Life
yes.
everlasting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
So, are you hearing?
Yes.
So, who in the days of his flesh, okay? So Jesus had days in his flesh. But we have days in our flesh,
mm-hmm.
okay? When we get disturbed, when we do things, that's a day in our flesh, okay?
Yeah.
When he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly reverence. Mm-hmm. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all whom obey him. Okay, so then I just want to go that he, so you know all that other stuff. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Okay, now we know that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he prayed. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by.
Yes.
Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So when we are struggling with something, let go. Not my will, but your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It will be better for us
yes.
when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
It is not good to try and prove that you're right, which I do many times. Okay? Because it doesn't make me feel good at all. So I don't know why I should let myself go that way.
Mm-hmm.
See? But yes. I learn obedience
right.
by these experiences, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to read this to you about Isaiah 50, I think it is. Isaiah, where are you? Isaiah 50. This is so precious that I just want to share that with you. So this is also about us, okay? Because now, the time is now that he whose right it is to be let come out of us, you know, to be. So, this is what is said. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. Okay. So now with all this experience and all these revelations that we are having, God is giving us the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary, and he wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear, okay? Just be aware that your ears are open, you know? And to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, okay? Now we begin to speak that, okay? About ourselves. God has opened your ear, Bob, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's opened your eyes to see,
yes.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
He has already. So it's a free gift. So all we need to do is just receive it.
Amen.
We can give thanks to God. Say thank you.
Yes.
Jesus said that. Thank you, Father. You've opened my ears.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That I may hear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he could do what he had to do. Because
yeah.
he heard to the maximum. See, he didn't. He said, you remember he said, of my own self, I can do nothing. Of our own self, we cannot do a thing. But it is the Father within
yes.
us. There's no difference. He was the firstborn of many brothers.
Yeah.
We are just continuing on from that until we all come to the full measure. So the Lord God has opened my ear and listened to this one. And I was not rebellious. And sometimes I feel myself to be rebellious. See? What did he say? I was not rebellious.
Right.
He prayed, he said, Father, if it's possible. But immediately he says, not my will. So you feel that little bit of rebellion, then you say, Father, not my will. Your will be done.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so wonderful. And nor did I turn away. See, now listen to this, you know. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting.
Mm.
Now, what I'd just like to close it all up. The reason why we can experience this freedom now is because Jesus was obedient.
Yes.
Yes.
To the Father. That's why we are here today.
Mm-hmm.
He was obedient and he could hear. Because of that he began to hear. Right? And he did that which he came to do.
Yes.
So now it is us to let this Christ, whose right it is, to come. So, okay, we will have our little experiences of rebellion and all that stuff, but don't even think about it. You know what Paul said, remember? He says in Romans 7, it's no longer I that do that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's that sin principle that's been hanging around for so long as me.
That's right.
And I'm so used to it, you know?
Yeah.
And it comes easy.
That's right.
It comes easy.
Yeah.
Judging still comes easy with
me. Oh, yeah.
That's right, it does. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
So, but that's not what I am now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. See? We are now as God. As we didn't put ourselves in that situation,
mm-hmm.
He said to us, see, that's what I wanted for you to understand what I got this morning. I didn't put myself in that situation. You know, it was God who said.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're my beloved child,
mm-hmm.
in whom I'm well pleased.
Mm-hmm.
What? You know? So, I mean, that didn't come really through to me in just one time. It was months. We just sat there for months and listened. That was in that time when we got the 12 tapes from Kenneth Copeland. And he just, you know, something happened that you would not, really, you cannot do it yourself. It was God doing it.
Yeah.
He sat there for 9 months. I mean, he didn't do a thing. There was never any TV on.
Mm.
Never. That's all what happened. He was listening morning and night, night and morning, walking up and down our drive because we had 10 acres. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Blah, blah, blah. And he was just walking. And he was just staying with it. Because his liver was gone. He had cirrhosis of the liver. And the doctor said, he won't last much longer. And his bowels, alcohol can really disturb your bowels if you're drinking all the time. And that was all. And I mean, he was kind of a little bit funny, you know. And so... That's what happened. And he was smoking like a chimney, you know. And he was sitting in the corner of the room, smoke, and listen. Had these tapes on his ears for
praise
9
God.
Months.
Praise God.
Never looked to the left, nor looked to the right. So, I mean, and then our daughter came home, her marriage broke down with two torts. Watch it. When you get a revelation, watch it. What happens? Hang on to your revelation. Because if something will come, now I'm not prophesying, but this has been the experience.
Yeah, yeah. It happens.
Every
yeah.
time when something mm-hmm. beautiful, so stay there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he stayed.
Right.
Never looked to the left nor to the right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. It was just an awesome thing. Yes. And my poor little girl, I mean, she was brokenhearted and couldn't talk to her, really. Two little babies, can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Toddlers, yes. You know, they get into everything.
I know.
Oh, and he just sat there. Just listen. Just listening.
Yeah.
Never got involved in anything that was happening in the house. It was amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. And after 9 months, it completely healed.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Oh, hallelujah.
And that was, this is a long time ago. You know, mm-hmm. be about yes. 30, 40 years ago. Can't even remember the dates anymore.
Yeah.
But you know, and then after that, after a year or so, we've always had in our hearts to be missionaries or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know? We just started. We had another couple that loved what we were sharing, and our son came back home. He was smoking dope, and he has been smoking dope for a long time. And he came home, and he started listening, cut off from all his friends because he's a guitarist. They used to jam and smoke all night. and that's how was our oldest son. And and he started listening and came in with our little fellowship. We had 7 people. And we just started in Emerald. Just rented that little old church that was not a church anymore. Because you see the Methodists and all this stuff, that's all dissolved kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So we had a gorgeous little. So we just started.
Right.
Wow. And then what began then was all these beliefs that we had, you know, about God throwing everybody in hell, and we'd be on the street, you know, singing our little hearts out. If you come to Jesus, you're going to end up in hell for eternity, because you're an eternal being, blah, 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 this, you know. And we were preaching it, you know, on the street. Do you know what? We did that for years. Nobody ever came. Out of all that, nobody ever came.
That told us something. I don't think it did.
It was amazing.
Can't blame him.
So what happened then? You see, that was for 10 or 11 years, non-stop. Never, ever was the TV on. Never. Then all these revelations start coming to him. You know, and people come. We had Ron come from New Zealand to minister in our camp. That was the guy that said, you got all different gods, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was, we invited him from New Zealand. And he said, the kingdom of God is within you. Wow. He just got it. Because Kenneth Copeland was teaching, there's a big building coming out of the sky one day. Which is the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So that's all we knew. And then this beautiful Ron, he comes and he gets a revelation. The kingdom of God is within you.
Mm-hmm.
In that camp that we had. Mm-hmm. We went together for a whole week. You know, we used to have, and we hired a big marquee tent, and everybody camped around it, and was on Mount Martha. My mountain. When you come again, I'm going to take you to Mount Martha.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. But, you know, and then he used, and you know, just one doctrine after another was just exposed.
Mm.
Like the rapture and all this Jesus coming back. Just one thing after another was just, you know, and then he'd be preaching and he'd be saying all these things and I'll be hearing it. And then all these scriptures that would be contrary to what he was saying would all come through my mind, you know, while he was preaching there. But God gave me the wisdom.
Yes.
I never spoke it out. Because by God's wonderful grace, something would happen that would confirm, if we just come from somewhere, what he was saying.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's how it was going. One thing after another. Oh, what a precious God we have.
Yes.
And here we are today. Free from all that.
Yes.
And we're going to be liberated even more. The freedom we haven't fully comprehended yet. This righteousness. So, you know, I like to just close then with that. God has commanded the light to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that light of the knowledge of God is such a love that we haven't fully comprehended yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Dutch word is not glory. The Dutch word is heerlijkheid. And I cannot find an English word for it. Mm-hmm. And right through the Dutch Bible, every time it says glory, and that is a lot of times, it says heerlijkheid. And this heerlijkheid is just such a feeling. It's a feeling. This freedom of God is a feeling. This love of God is a feeling that we begin to feel that is so deep that words cannot really tell you. It is something that we will continue to experience as we continue this journey, because it's continuously still unveiling. We have begun our journey, but it continues on. So just always be encouraged. Never allow yourself to take on the feeling of discouragement. Okay? Never take that. Because Jesus never took that. Can you have a little feeling of what Jesus felt with this whole new thing, what was happening? And I mean, there were not many that could hear. Even then, with his own disciples. So let's be encouraged, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Something wonderful has begun.
Mm-hmm.
So this treasure, what we are talking about, this Christ that we are talking about, this treasure we have in earthen vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Which will never. It is us. It is us. This treasure. It's the presence of God. It's the Christ. It's the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
See. So when we go home and we're by ourselves, nothing has changed from today when we all have fellowship together. Nothing has changed because we have that treasure in earthen vessel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the excellency of the power is not of us, it is of God. Mm-hmm. So that is just so beautiful. And you know, where it says his name shall be called Wonderful, you cannot find anything more wonderful in the whole world than this.
Mm-hmm.
That we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's all I just always like just to be still for a minute. I think I've shared everything what I had on my heart. We know, you already know, that the greatest of these is love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So every experience, okay, when we have circumstances that are not so pleasant, which we all have from time to time, always remember, the greatest of these is love.
Yes.
Yes.
That treasure that is in this vessel, in your vessel. So know yourself now the way you are known of God. It says that in 1 Corinthians. Prophecies will cease. That's where it is, okay? I don't know exactly. It's after this love. Oh, I might just like to read that, the love thing. You see, sometimes we don't feel the love, but then we must understand that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Because he of ourselves, Martha, can do nothing. Honestly, I know it. Mm-hmm. I've lived it. I've been there. I know what it is like. So, you know also that you cannot do anything of yourself, okay? So, just know that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And you just begin to meditate on that, and you will begin to feel it. I think it's 1 Corinthians 13, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had it in my Bible, but I can't find it in another bit. So, okay. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. See, thinks no evil. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the most important little line. Mm-hmm. Okay? To keep me. Mm-hmm. Love doesn't think evil. Mm-hmm. So bliss. See? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, well, you see, the Christ has come.
Yes.
So the perfect has come.
Yes.
So let it, okay? Mm-hmm. Let it. Like God said, let there be light. So let it. Let this Christ come out as you. So when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just I also am known. Okay? That's where it is. Now, we have now come up higher, so now we know ourselves the way we are known of God. Because you know God only sees you as himself. We are creatures of himself.
Yes.
I mean, how awesome is that? So just meditate on these things, and they are made flesh in us now. We are walking this thing, like Jesus, who was made, his flesh was made the Word of God. He walked as the Word of God. But then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Okay, so thank you everybody for listening, and we're just going to be still, just for a little while, okay? And just think about this treasure that you have in this earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us.